Hi, Kristen. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dora. Thanks for having me.
Our second show's topic is young adults and young adults during this amazing year that we are having with COVID and how yoga can possibly help. But before we go down that discussion, I would love to just introduce you to our audience. Could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you came about yoga, how long you've been practicing, and all those things?
Okay, sure. So I think as far, I was trying to think back to my first yoga class and I don't remember. I think I probably, dabbled in it 15 plus years ago. But then I didn't really seriously embrace the practice probably until about 3 or so years ago. And then that's when I started thinking like, well, I want to know why we do this and all the things. There was definitely more. I knew like coming into Spira, I knew that I was getting more than just that physical exercise out of it. So that I did the teacher training at Spira and, and I think just my connection with it grew from there. So, so I think the short answer is I probably started many, many years ago, but not really seriously understanding and embracing, all the pieces like breath and mindfulness and all those other, benefits that we get from it until just a few years ago.
What is that one thing, if you can name one thing about yoga as you're progressing in your journey in this yoga journey, what would it be?
It's always so hard to name one thing. But I really do think the benefit as far as, why it keeps drawing me back is that it gives me space. I walk out of, when I'm practicing more, I feel like I have more time in my life and space in my life and patience. And so for me, it's really just helped giving me that time in my body that allows me to, do more and be more productive. And it's one of those, like, I feel like magical things that's hard to explain to people, but that is
Yeah,
the love that
I often feel that I got stuck in like some Star Trek episode where time
I
space continuum, because when you have no time, and I'm just running around because I have no time, but then
have.
I take a little time out for yoga, I somehow get everything done in less time and I get more time afterwards. And I'm like, wait a minute, I just took time out to do yoga. How do I end up with more time in my day?
Yeah, it's like a phenomenon.
I know it's some quantum physics coming through. So beyond yoga and the yoga journey, you do have, we call it the other job in our yoga career. What is it that you do in that other job that
With all that time
with all that time,
that I
exactly?
have. Yeah, so I'm a licensed mental health therapist. I've been licensed for many years. I've been in the field of mental health and psychology for over 25 years. Have my master's, licensed here. But about 15 years ago, I kind of transitioned into more of a health advocacy role. So I'm not a practicing therapist anymore. But definitely still in the health field. So primarily helping people with navigating the health system, understanding it, and really connecting to resources. So that's kind of my background. But when I started out, and I think, and I'll probably get to this later, I'm sure, in talking about when I went through the teacher training, is really kind of helps provide clarity and just, what is like more of your purpose and your passion. And while, my health advocacy work is definitely there, I really, the first half of my career, I worked with children and adolescents and their families. And I really, just kind of realized how much, I missed that and that, I have a talent in that area and that I, wanted to find a way to, kind of keep doing it. So, while I won't quit my day job, I've learned, that I can find ways to still, do that in my life and connect with the community and, kind of incorporate both of my past lives.
Well, that's fantastic. So this kind of explains why you're interested in addressing some of the troubles that young adults and teens and tweens are having. I mean, that is a difficult time in life, even if conditions are perfect. But this year has definitely thrown in a couple of loopholes for all of us. So what are some of the challenges that you're seeing with this young generation right now?
Yeah, so I think, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, when I went through the teacher training and was thinking about yoga and, you know, kind of what, you know, I really value and want to do and work with, you know, it really was the children and adolescents. And definitely, you know, this was kind of all pre-COVID thoughts, you know, as far as what I wanted to do. But then as we went into this pandemic and there was the isolation, you know, I think my, just that need to, you know, do more was even, I think, clearer, because, you know, we went into this isolation, and for teens, for anybody, that's hard. But for teens, adolescents, you know, this is a time in their life where their brain needs to be working on integration, you know, that social integration and having connections with not just their peers, but also other adults in their life that aren't their parents, you know, their parents, but also other adults that can be great role models and inspiration for them. You know, and it just, I thought, gosh, you know, I am not, you know, learning so much about yoga and how so much of it is psychology. Sorry if you could hear my dogs in the background. And so much of it is psychology that, you know, I thought this might be a great thing to just kind of meld together and provide an opportunity to help that group of people, young adults in our lives. So I think that the struggles are really, you know, the social isolation, you know, growing and changing and discovering your body and mind, and, you know, for them trying to, you know, piece that all together in normal, quote unquote, times, you know, but is especially challenging now when they're, you know, they've been cut off from some of their resources.
Exactly. I mean, it's so true that during those years, you go through this separation from the family, you're starting to develop yourself as your own individual, right? And some of these topics are exactly what you don't want to talk to your parents about. And it's not that you don't have a good relationship with your parents. It's just you're less comfortable at that age relating back to the source from which you're actually at that point trying to define yourself as a separate unit. I remember when I was a teenager that I definitely was attracted to a couple of adults in my life who were in the large family, but not direct relations. And it was an empirical and influential part of my growing up to have these relationships. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think of, you know, ballet teachers and coaches and, you know, just teachers at school, right, that all influence our teens' lives. And that's been hard because this past year, they haven't been able, other than Zoom, to really connect with them. You know, and I think all of those things, you know, can be helpful to a teenager, right, and integrating those thoughts and learning to empathize and, you know, just kind of piecing it all together as they grow. And I think yoga does it in a special way, in the sense that, you know, we're not just being role models and teaching good, healthy habits and getting exercise in, but we're also really giving them the space to have time in their own bodies, which is something like none of us are really great at doing, and slowing down. And so I think my other thing is that I was like, oh, I wish I knew these skills, or I knew to do this, you know, when I was younger. And if we could try to help incorporate just those habits of slowing down and, you know, understanding, being aware of what's happening in front of us and inside of us, that those skills, you know, will help, and, you know, hopefully help us have productive, you know, young adults that are going to help our world.
I mean, this is something that's even hard to do as an absolute grown up, because there are some things that the body understands, but the mind hasn't caught up. And then the mind understands, but the body hasn't caught up, kind of thing. So, we've learned to isolate these parts of our lives completely, which is why, you know, sometimes we have gut feelings, but we are not processing it. And then sometimes we over-intellectualize things and we forgetting to incorporate what it is that we're actually emotionally feeling. Yeah. So this body, emotion, or soul, whatever your preferred vocabulary, and then intellect falls apart It's the yogic trinity that exists together, but we often handle it as separate. And I think COVID in so many ways, unconsciously, because people are not really conscious of this yogic trinity, to be honest, of mind, emotions, and intellect. But it triggers it because you're wearing a mask, right? So it's something on your body that creates a physical sensation. And it triggers emotions. And it also has an intellectual capacity of why and how and so forth. But it also blocks our emotions from each other. You know, we all know why we have to wear it. I'm not arguing pro or against. We all know why we have to wear it. I'm saying it, how it affects us. And now that the kids are going back to school, but they have to go back to school with a mask.
Right.
So I think beyond, yes, you have to wear it for safety discussion, I think it would be also really smart to actually have a discussion about how it affects us emotionally, communications wise. So it's not the pink elephant in the closet that you just cannot mention and then you shove it down people's throat as you have to wear it. I think that is a harmful approach that we're kind of doing right now. Do you want to talk about how kids are kind of are bridging the challenge of going back to school now?
I think some are going to be super eager and great, and they are the kids that, you know, can kind of adapt to anything and will be fine. I think kids are very resilient, so, you know, I think will be probably great role models for some of us adults and integrating back into the social world. And then there are going to be kids who, you know, and those are the kids where, you know, they've always had trouble, like first day of school, transitioning from summer to fall, like going back to school, you know, maybe physical symptoms that they're, you know, nervous, different things. So I think for those kids, you know, I think that some extra support and awareness around it, you know, to prep before the school doors open is something we need to be thinking about. And like you said, with the example of the mask, you know, one thing that parents can do that's very, you know, simple is really just sit with their kids and be present, you know, have them talk about it and not say a thing, you know, just listen, which is a really hard thing for most of us to do, but giving them that space is, you know, kids can kind of figure things out for themselves. And I, one of my book recommendations, which is, you know, a really well-known book, is by Dr. Dan Siegel, and it's called Brainstorm. He's written a lot of books on this topic. And
he's one of my favorite ones as well.
He does such a great job of like giving you these things that just make sense on what we're talking about in yoga that are really psychology, you know, and one of the things like with the mask and as an example is, you know, name it to tame it. You know, if you can just name that feeling you're having and what's going on, you know, it will help calm down the situation.
Exactly.
And, you know, help us deal with it productively. Exactly. So yeah, great. You know, I think things for us to be providing ourselves and our kids in the community to get,
especially, you know, as teens are so conscious of their external, you know, presentation. So I think naming that feeling and that is such an important part of the healing process and the acceptance process as well. So here's where you keep saying that yoga is like psychology, and you're doing this yoga for young adults. I am really curious what you mean by this, because I know what you mean by this, but I think a lot of us think of yoga as, you know, doing a pose and being able to touch your toes, which, you know, you and I both know that we kick and scream against that stripped down version of the art. But can you explain it a little bit of what your approach is with these students?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, we're going to, especially, so, you know, we have the workshop coming up. And so that, you know, in planning and doing a curriculum for that, you know, there's a part of it that, yes, it's going to be physical and fun, and we're going to do the touch your toes and pretty poses too, right? But we'll have fun with yoga. So, you know, I think that has its place for sure. But what we, you know, also, and I think kids are more eager to learn this probably than adults are because we are already in our habits of life, but it's really just that slowing down. And when you're in that pose, being aware of what your physical body, you know, what does it feel like? So then you're, you know, you're bringing that attention to the physical, the physicality of it. And then, you know, from there, what thoughts, you know, and this whole mindfulness piece of it, you know, what thoughts come to mind, you know, while you're doing it, and making that note, and not necessarily, and, you know, and learning to not judge those thoughts or judge your physical body, you know, that piece of acceptance, and really kind of just going through that process so that, you know, basically what it's learning is integrating different parts of your brain to do that. So that in life kids can, you know, apply that same skill. And this is what we do in psychology, right, with kids. And so like Dr. Dan Siegel has so many great examples of taking, he calls like our part of class at the end where we do Shavasana, like that's like time in, you know, and I love that because really as we're teaching kids to take more time in their bodies, it's keeping them from having time outs later is the way I like to look at it. And, you know, so much of just all the things that I've learned about yoga and the philosophy and the approach and, you know, what we're doing to try to better our bodies and our minds is, you know, so much of also what I've learned in, you know, getting my master's degree and studying psychology and working with children and what I'm trying to, you know, teach them in different ways. So hopefully that made some sense as far as the connection of the two.
Yeah. Well, I know that I set up your workshop, which is starting this weekend for the kids, right? It's starting this Sunday. You can still sign up. The link is in the podcast description as well. But I know when I set up the workshop, it's 5 weekends long, you know, I think 2 hours each Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But each meeting is dedicated to a philosophy topic that's based on yoga philosophy and the 8 limbs. Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about more in detail about what these topics and how these virtue topics help incorporate kids better mental health in the way down?
Yeah, so the, you know, the 8 limbs of yoga is basically, you know, what we're kind of is like our foundation and what we're trying to teach and share, you know, and everybody's going to use that information in a different way in their life. They don't have to practice the same way you and I practice. But you know, it will, you know, we will do the workshop on the physical part and learning the poses and asanas, you know, just some basic stuff and getting into that. We are going to focus on breath, you know, and then incorporating that breath into our yoga practice and also into parts of, you know, our life when we need it to help. You know, it's a great tool for calming. It's a great tool. Yeah, just, you know, we could go. I know you guys talked about breath last podcast, so I don't have to go there, but there's so many great benefits of learning to breathe and using it. You know, and then we will do the meditation, you know, focused meditation, as well as mindfulness and really just helping to give kids tools, you know, for anxiety, calming, you know, learning to deal with problems, you know, that, you know, peace begins with within yourself, you know, so, you know, trying to help kids understand that that work that they do there, you know, they will then share, you know, with others, hopefully. So that social aspect, and then really getting into that, the pieces of like the yamas and niyamas too, of like, you know, studying yourself, having self-compassion and love. And, you know, and this will all be done through fun activities and some like kind of arts and games and, you know, all things that we can do right now safely and socially distanced. Well, it won't be socially distanced, but physically distanced and still have fun. And yeah, and so I've just really tried to, you know, find all of those things that we are learning in yoga practice, and then how we can teach kids to incorporate them in their lives, you know, yeah. And learn.
I think the yamas and the niyamas make such a great discussion for adults and teens as well, because, you know, how do you balance speaking your truth but not harming? How do you organize and keep clean? Not just externally, but internally, what are those processes, right? It just opens up all these wonderful discussions for basically discussing all the mental kind of knots and bolts yeah. that build up over the time yeah. of our life and help us process some of our hurts and pains as well.
Exactly. And just, and then some just kind of examples too, that you know, we plan to get into, or, you know, just talking about the yamas and niyamas and taking care of yourself and purity, you know, nutrition, you know, just not that I'm a nutritionist and I'm not going to be teaching nutrition, but, you know, there's some fun ways to talk about food where, you know, people like just trying to get, you know, like how we're fueling our bodies with healthy, colorful foods. Oh, yeah. So I've got some resources that, you know, we're going to use for that lesson and for that, you know,
it's important. It's hard to resist. I'm not a nutritionist either, but I'm a huge health advocate for nutrition and lifestyle. And that is the one thing that I'm really, that's a whole different podcast, but I'm kind of annoyed about how little discussion there is about inflammation, our choices of food, and inflammation as the leading, you know, thing that causes us basically illness later on, including complications with COVID. And we're just not talking about that, you know?
No.
So I think getting a healthy lifestyle and knowing, I think food is mostly education. Once you know how to make good choices, you know how to make good choices on any budget. I've been really poor and I've been, you know, well off. And in both of those cases, you have options if you have the education. And like, the sooner we start it with the kids, the better off, especially if they're going off to college and they're going to be on a budget, right?
Right. So and I think trying to, you know, plant that seed in a way where it's, you know, it's coming from, you know, a positive place of, you know, why, you know, why do we want, you know, what do you benefit from eating green, colorful foods, you know, and we're not talking about jelly bellies, we're talking about you know, plant-based kind of, you know, what does that do for you? What, how does it make your brain work better? You know, like all those things, like, so that they get a real connection to the motivation of eating well, you know, and not just because they're being told to eat, you know, their vegetables at dinner.
Well, I'm really, really excited to have you do this workshop, and I'm excited to see where this will take off, you know, as far as more programs for youth at Spira. I also want to make sure that, you know, our viewers and our listeners know that, you know, though I do think in some ways yoga is the answer to pretty much everything in life, but there are crisis situations like being hit by the bus that needs a surgery occasionally. So do you want to talk about it in the realm of psychology, you know, what that would look like and some yeah. of the red flags?
Yeah, thanks. I think that's important to say that, you know, we don't want to ignore the fact that there are people who are seriously struggling. You know, we know that, you know, there's been surveys done and, you know, we've seen that, you know, 25%+ of kids out there are feeling, you know, disconnected. You know, they are having feelings of unhappiness and depression. You know, so we definitely want to be aware. And some of that is just, you know, trying to find these ways that we talked about today to connect and support and listen to them. But there are also, you know, going to be bigger struggles that are beyond that and need some professional help. So yeah, I think that we can share some of those, you know, just resources as far as, you know, if you're a parent and, you know, or a friend that sees a, you know, young adult or child or adolescent with that struggle, you know, to talk to them, talk to their teacher. Teachers can be great resources. The pediatrician as a good starting point to say, you know, how serious is this? Do we need to try to find some professional help, you know, as well? And then there's, you know, there are certainly crisis hotlines out there. There's a national, you know, suicide helpline, which we can put, you know, at the, I think you said in the bottom
yeah,
of the podcast here for people to see if they do need to reach out to something in more of an urgent matter.
Yeah. Well, you know, I believe in a butterfly effect in the universe that every good deed can inspire another one. So the only way to create peace in the universe is, you know, I'm a big quoter of Kennedy of, you know, it starts with yourselves. Do not ask what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And I do feel that in order to have a better life for everyone, we just need to do our part. what we can. So I am so glad that you're participating and you're encouraging this. Well, I just always like to finish my interviews with a couple of questions to humanize our Sphera staff, because people have this amazing idea that somehow we yogis are this, we sit on the cloud and then nothing ever makes us un-yogic. So what is do you have something that can really take you off your keel?
Yeah, I definitely have like just my bad habits I still work on, you know, as we're preaching to these, you know, children, there's things we're always working on ourselves, like, you know, being more mindful when I eat, you know, and how I eat, not just what I'm eating. But the things that kind of maybe throw me off. Yeah, I guess, well, I'm a Scorpio, so I have a lot of like, you know, my friends, I expect a lot of loyalty.
I share that with you.
Yeah. So I can, you know, sometimes I have to learn not only to not be hard on myself, but not to be, you know, hard on expectations, you know, of others, you know. So really probably like if somebody, you know, isn't being cooperative or, you know, maybe they're not, you know, being patient, you know, I can lose patience with that. So I often have to remember to have empathy and, you know, there's people are coming from different places and use all those things we're practicing in yoga.
Yeah.
Get myself back to center.
And when you get off keel, what do you tend to do? I sometimes just kind of blow up and I need a little moment to get my turkey anger, you know, driven out in a safe and unharmful way.
Probably right now during COVID, because my poor husband is the only one here with me and the dogs, you know, they probably get to just hear me go off on a rant when I get frustrated or impatient. The good news is it doesn't usually last forever. It's just, you know, I have my little blow up and then I can get myself back together.
Yeah, I call it turkey anger, although that's a direct translation from Hungarian and I have no idea if it makes sense in English, but it's that idea of like you get really angry and then it goes away in 2 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah. I can relate to that.
All right. So if you've ever taken a truly bad yoga class without naming the teacher, because we're not about shaming, we're just about getting a good laughter. What describe that bad yoga class?
Yeah. Well, so I'm going to say this, and this was not a setup to, you know, toot Sphera's horn, but I will, you know, it was actually, I think one of my worst was like, I was going through teacher training at Sphera. So we were learning, how to teach and that, you know, saying less is more and all that good stuff. And then I was traveling for work and went and took a yoga class in a different state. So no one around here. And the teacher talked a lot, you know, and it was a lot of physical cues constantly like, okay, now, you know, adjust your hand and then you're like all the way through the whole body for every pose. And it really just was too much for my brain. You know, it was just too much information. I definitely like a yoga class where I can have space and I can, you know, figure out what's going on in there and what I need to do. And yeah, I just remember feeling more stressed leaving that class and really appreciating, you know, what the teachers we have back here who give us that space to, you know, explore and, you know, just give us just enough of the cues to guide us and what a talent that is. So that was probably one of my bad experiences.
It's really hard, you know, especially early on in our teaching career, people think that they need to control the experience. And that is exactly psychologically, spiritually, the opposite reason why, you know,
it's hard.
people show up. So yes, you want to correct alignment if it's harmful, but you cannot, you got to let go of perfectionism, right? It's a little messy, it's okay, give them space. Yeah. Isn't that the truth? Well, my closing question is just, you know, a random crazy silliness of what is the weirdest thing you ever eaten?
Oh, and this is going to just be a boring answer because I'm not very adventurous with my eating. So I don't really, I cannot think of anything that's like really weird. Maybe some exotic fruits or something when we're traveling, but yeah. I'm not like a very adventurous
chocolate covered bugs for you on the travels.
Yeah. I'll have to work on that.
Good source of protein, I hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was lovely talking to you. And thank you so much for our audience as well for giving us the time. And if you know teens and tweens who could benefit, please send them our way. And I can't wait till I have you on my show next time, Kristen. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Yeah.
Have a good day.